Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Nobody has more respect for women than I do. Nobody.
Hillary Clinton wants to abolish it. Believe me. She wants to abolish our Second Amendment.
I think they didn't deny it. I don't think anybody denied it.
Other presidents did not call. They'd write letters, and some presidents didn't do anything.
Many people have come out and said, I'm right.
You really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
Hello and welcome to Fallacious Trump, the podcast where we use the insane ramblings of a man who thinks Lapland is a strip club to explain logical fallacies. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm your other host, Mark. A logical fallacy is an error in reasoning that results in bad or invalid arguments. And the logical fallacy we're looking at this Christmas week is dysphemism.
Yeah.
It's a lovely word.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those Greek ones.
They were great
at words, the Greeks.
Came
up with loads of great ones.
So it's not a portmanteau of dystopia and euphemism.
In the sense that those are both Greek words.
Right, yeah.
Because you, the prefix you, as in euphemism and utopia, means good, whereas dis means bad. So utopia versus dystopia, euphemism versus dysphemism. Because this is essentially a negative euphemism. A euphemism is something, a word or a phrase that you might replace something neutral with in order to make it sound more palatable or even a good thing. Whereas a dysphemism is something which you would replace in order to make it sound as bad as you can. And as part of an argument, when you do that, when you are trying to make things sound bad in order to get people on your side or against your enemies or to believe the things you believe or attack the people you want them to attack, then that's a fallacy. It's a fallacy of emotion. It's like an appeal to emotion because you are using emotive language instead of neutral factual language.
Right. Yes. You're queering the pitch, aren't you? You're in nautical terms. You're rocking the boat.
Metaphors here is.
I know. Yeah. Queering the pitch, rocking the boat. Same thing. So you're doing it in order to cast aspersions on what somebody has said or is about to say.
Can be.
Whereas a euphemism might be, well, certainly British politics, there are certain things you're not allowed to say in the Houses of Parliament. So people adopt these euphemisms, which everybody knows what they're actually saying.
Yeah.
One of them is, you know, my learned friend or my honourable friend. Rather than that lying scrote over there or him, you have to refer to them euphemistically.
Well, it's an attempt to inject some decorum into proceedings, isn't it, Renny?
Yes.
So rather than a reverse euphemism, this is a negative euphemism, and our first example from Trump comes when he's talking about the Green New Deal.
I will do to make middle-class life dramatically more affordable is to end Kamala's war on American energy, terminate her Green New Scam, and drill a baby drill. We're going to drill baby drill. Since Harris took office, more than 50 power plants have been shut down.
Yeah, he calls the Green New Deal the Green New Scam.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. He doesn't really, because the Green New Deal isn't really a thing. It was a thing that was proposed, but never got anywhere, because it was always just kind of, this would be a thing that we'd like to see. These are, you know, generally people investing money in green schemes and things like that. But it's replaced by many, many things, mostly the Inflation Reduction Act, which, along with an attempt to reduce inflation, was really a massive investment, a $2 trillion investment in infrastructure, which Trump was a bit sore about because he kept promising to have Infrastructure Week and never did. Then Biden did it. But he's talking about Kamala's war on energy, American energy.
Yeah.
What they're doing is addressing renewables. They are trying to encourage a transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy and encourage investment in those kinds of energies. So by calling that a war on American energy, he is absolutely using a dysphemism there to make people not want that thing to happen, because wars are bad.
Basically, his entire canon is using disinformation.
I did have a lot of examples to choose between for this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does this almost all the time. Mm. And in fact, I think all of my examples, he does it more than once within the kind of 30 seconds of the example. But yeah, he talked about the war on American energy and the Green New Scam. And he also, incidentally, in there, said that under Kamala, meaning under Joe Biden, 50 power plants have closed in the US. And he went on to say that this is because they didn't like the way that they were generating power.
Right.
Because it's always worth pointing out, lest anyone think at any point that he said a thing that's true.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that that wasn't true.
Yeah.
The actual number was 32. He's talking really about coal-powered power plants. So that number went from 246 in 2021 to 214 now. 32 shut down. That wasn't because Biden or Kamala shut them down. That was because coal has got more expensive to use to produce power, to the point where it's now certainly more expensive than natural gas, which has grown. And in fact, there are new natural gas power plants that have started up over that time. But also it's more expensive than renewables now. So the people who run those power plants are shutting them because it's not worth spending the money to keep them running.
So it's a purely a business decision.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
You know, not helped by possibly proposed tariffs on imports of cheap coal.
I don't think that's probably a thing that's had that much of an impact because usually it takes years between announcing that you're going to shut one and shutting it. You can't just kind of turn off the coal power plant and that's it. There's a process. But maybe he's thinking of his first 2 years in office where 50 power plants did close down during that period.
Mm.
Possibly. That's what's got him all confused.
Right. Again, for reasons other than the one that he said they closed down.
Yeah, for business reasons, because it is getting cheaper to produce renewable energy or to use renewable sources for your energy and more expensive to use coal. They are suspecting that those remaining coal-powered plants in the US will all shutter in the next kind of 15 years or so, because there's just not going to be any point, even though they will still arguably have coal that they could use in them. It just won't be efficient to do it that way. So our second example from Trump is representative of, again, something he just does all the time.
Under both border czar Harris and Sleepy Joe Biden.
There you go.
Giving his opponents or anyone he disagrees with negative nicknames, you know, rather than just calling them Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, he calls her border czar Kamala because he's trying to link her to the disaster at the southern border.
Yeah.
And Sleepy Joe, who still managed to beat him in 2020. By doing that, he is constantly putting a negative spin on those people. I think the one that he's kind of clung to most recently is calling Gavin Newsom new scum. That's like his clever thing for Gavin Newsom. And he uses it all the
time. If only he was a bit more educated, he could have called him Gavin Nuisance.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably he misspoke at some point. He probably accidentally said new scum and then decided it was a thing that he
decided
could say.
That was a deliberate act.
I'm pretty sure Ron DeSantis was a mistake as well, and almost certainly Kamabla, which doesn't mean anything, but he repeatedly called Kamala Kamabla. That was just a random fucking thing that came out of his mouth.
Yeah,
and then he was like, "Well, that's her name now." calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, calling Adam Schiff Watermelon Head or Pencil Neck, or any of the things that he's done repeatedly is just all about denigrating these people with every word. Yeah. Like it's quite efficient in terms of word count. You know, you don't have to talk about negative things these people do or believe.
No, you can just
tack an adjective onto their name and make them sound bad for some people who are listening to you.
And it bloody works.
Well, he got elected.
It worked. It got it.
I'm not sure I would say it was thanks to the nicknames, but...
Oh, yeah, well, I guess
getting elected.
Yeah, it did, yes. It didn't stop him getting elected. Yeah, yeah. And actually, we kind of do that for comic effect.
Oh,
we will put those epithets in knowingly in order to indicate, yes, in a shorthand way, how we feel about the particular characters we're talking about.
Yeah, I would argue
that's just as a prelim because I'm going to do that a lot.
Sure.
Yeah,
is that we lay out in quite a lot of detail and with evidence and citations and clips why these people are bad people.
Right.
And while doing that, we will also insult them given the chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas,
because in a way, it's the only way to keep saying.
Yeah. In some cases, Trump will that will be his attack. Is giving them a mean nickname.
That's as much evidence as he's prepared to provide.
Go into any detail about what he disagrees with them about. And that's supposed to do the job of indicating that they are a bad person and he disagrees with them.
Well, all it does is indicate that he's just a bully.
Yeah.
It's that kind of playground bully and thing.
Very unimaginative bully as well.
Is there any such thing as an imaginative bully?
I think you can imaginatively bully people. I'm not advocating it, but I think it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. In our experience over the last years of US and English politics, none of them strike me as being particularly imaginative.
I would say the Venn diagram of bullies and unimaginative people, there is a distinct overlap.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means they're completely mutually exclusive. I think you can have imaginative bullies.
I'm going to make that my PhD thesis over the Christmas holiday. Yeah. Imaginative bullies. A retrospective.
So, in our final Trump example, we have a short section of a speech in which he did this 5-6 times. I don't know, you can try counting them.
They send young Americans to fight and die for the borders of distant foreign nations while they throw our borders open to an illegal foreign invasion, which is what is happening. They set violent criminals loose without charges while prosecuting their political opponents for fabricated crimes. They legalize mass robberies and cheer for BLM and Antifa rioters.
I mean, working backwards from the end there, BLM and Antifa rioters is how he is describing peaceful protesters in this particular section. He talks about releasing violent criminals, which is the antithesis of what is happening when they release people from prison. When they release people before their sentence is up, it's because, first of all, prisons are massively overcrowded, and they specifically don't release violent ones. When COVID meant that keeping people in prison was actually kind of inhumane because of the overcrowding, so they needed to thin out the prison population and have people have home confinement. It was the non-violent offenders who still were confined to their homes or given, you know, ankle bracelet monitoring and things like that.
Yeah.
But they were not and have not released violent criminals.
Yeah, from a purely efficiency point of view,
it
wouldn't make sense to release the violent ones because they're just going to commit more crimes.
Yes.
It's probably occurred to people, rather than just randomly do it by alphabetical order. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So calling their border policy throwing open the borders to a violent invasion. Again, it's just calling things negative, bad descriptions.
Yeah.
They are a poor description of what's actually happening, and they are deliberately negative emotions that are going along with these things.
Yeah, that whole invasion thing, you know, that was used by Priti Patel, Kemi Badenoch, Braverman all talked about an invasion at the border. And actually what Starmer has re-characterized that as a really bad border policy because they haven't got any legal routes. So they force people to take illegal routes and then characterize them as criminals and an invasion, not to make it easier to deal with, but to assuage the needs of the right-wing voters that were leaking off to further right parties. That was all it was for. So you use that language because that appeals to those unimaginative bullies who just go, oh, yeah, all right, well, these guys, they've recognised that there's an invasion of people that we think are the wrong colour or the wrong kind of people to be in our country. We'll vote for them.
The thing is, if you choose to describe something in an inaccurate but extremely negative way,
yeah,
apart from being fallacious, which is enough of a crime in itself, you are also making it actually harder to deal with that problem.
Yes.
If you describe something accurately, then you're at least part of the way to figuring out what the solution for that problem is, or figuring out a way to start to mitigate the problem. If you see the difficulties that are caused by poor immigration policies, not enough staff at borders, incredibly slow processing, overcrowded immigration centres and things like that. The problems that are caused by those things, if you see that as an invasion, you're not going to address those issues.
Yes.
If you see it as an overwhelmed immigration system, then the reality is that you're more likely to put more resources into that system and see where efficiencies can be made.
Yeah.
So it's not just petulant to say that this is a bad thing to do. We're not just like, oh, he's really annoying and mean.
Yeah.
It means that you're not going to solve the problems that you're identifying if you pretend that the problems are something else, something much worse.
Yes, because by mischaracterizing it and using an untruthful way of describing it, a denigratory way of describing it, then you're using that as a solution to some other problem. The problem for the Conservatives was that they were leeching voters to the right. Parties further to the right than them were taking their vote away. So they, rather than solve the problem, which there is a problem with an under-resourced and inefficient immigration service, there's no problem with immigration. They made immigration the solution to their voting woes by mischaracterizing it as something broken and unsolvable, and that's all they had to do. It's like we said in the last episode, where Farage could just identify the problem.
Yeah,
he can just mischaracterize stuff as a problem. As a politician, you're in a position to solve those problems, and to start solving those, you need to talk about the things truthfully. Of course, if Trump had talked truthfully about any of that stuff, he wouldn't have got voted in.
No.
And now is the time, I think, for Mark's British Politics Corner.
Seeing as it's Christmas, let's remind ourselves, and when we eagerly anticipated the Christmas annual from our favourite comic book and relive that with a bumper serving of the Grinch himself, Nigel rhymes with garage Farage. So we're going to have a collage barrage of Farage's camouflage badinage. And I propose that, a bit like Trump, Farage is in a continual state of dysphemia. He alludes to things and he's just asking questions in a disparaging way in order to do the thing we talked about, which is to cast aspersions on whatever the next person is about to say or what the person before has said, in order to make you respond to the other speaker in a negative light, and also at the same time for him as a speaker to remain at the distance of plausible deniability. So he can just say, well, I'm just saying it as I see it. It's, I'm a poor, you're accusing me of denigrating what they're saying. No, I'm just, this is my experience. So we're going to have a bumper crop of Farage's stuff. So this is his first speech as an MP, welcoming the Speaker of the House, Lindsay Hoyle, back to his post.
And it is, I must say, in marked contrast to the little man that was there before you and besmirched the office so dreadfully, in doing his best to overturn the biggest democratic result in the history of the country. We support you, sir, fully.
There's a nice bit there where somebody says, how did that go? About he's talking about Brexit. So he's talking about the little man, John Bercow, and certainly he wasn't as tall as Lindsay Hoyle. Like, it's important to point out somebody's stature, unless you're doing it in order to talk about not just his feet and inches, but the fact that he was a little man, a small-minded man, who was responsible for running down the position by virtue of the fact that he was blocking Farage's grand plan, which he incidentally thought was going to be a failure. And he'd kind of go, oh, yeah, fair enough, never mind, Brexit. But, of course, John Bercow, the previous speaker, held a much more neutral position than Farage is characterising him as being in, because he was insistent that the Constitution was upheld and insisted that Boris's government didn't do unconstitutional things, lying to the Queen type things, like dissolving Parliament and make it unable to prevent a no-deal Brexit, which they did when they prorogued Parliament deliberately and for the avoidance of doubt, and not merely to dysphemistically allude to Boris Johnson as likely to be a bit fast and loose with the old truth there. In September 2019, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the prorogation was unlawful and therefore null and of no effect, having found that Johnson's advice to the Queen to prorogue Parliament was outside the powers of the Prime Minister and that Johnson was motivated by the improper purpose of stymieing Parliament and had effectively misled the Queen. So John Bercow just did stuff that Farage didn't like. So rather than saying, no, fair enough, you did make us stick to the rules, actually what you're as a little man that got in the way. So, you know, here he is a bit later on, responding to Rachel Reeves' first budget. He's dysphemically referring to the budget in Diane Abbott terms.
I sat listening to the numbers thinking this budget is illiterate. I don't know who's doing the sums, whether perhaps it's the Right Honourable Member for Hackney North, but the sums do not work.
He's talking about the budget by alluding to Diane Abbott, and yes, that's 30p Lee laughing at Farage's quip there, well-known racialist 30p Lee. And this is what he's referring to vis-a-vis Diane Abbott.
If we recruit the 10,000 police men and women over a four-year period, we believe it'll be about £300,000.
£300,000?
Sorry,
10,000 police officers? What are you paying them?
No, I mean, sorry.
How much will they cost?
And he's not referring to Priti Patel saying this.
Through the government's ongoing monitoring and testing programme, as of 9am today, there have been 974,000 tests carried out across the UK, excluding Northern Ireland.
That's so good.
Oh, it's like Christmas when you get to hear that again, isn't it? So another member of the House calls him out on his allusion to Diane Abbott.
The Honourable Gentleman mentioned the member for Hackney North. I just wondered whether he had actually warned her that he was going to be mentioning her in the chamber.
I thank the Honourable Member for the point of order. However, that is not a point of order. It is a courtesy of the House. Nigel Farage.
Nice try. I was just gently teasing, that was all.
I think even the intonation he uses in nice try is a bit diffamistic. And also the original objector's use of in the middle of Honourable gentlemen, I think is probably a deliberate act of dysphemia. That's because it's far more British than calling somebody Sleepy Joe, isn't it? to just pause before you say gentlemen. So good. So, and here he is again disparaging the, well, this is weird, this one, because we'll listen to it and then we'll talk about it.
Now, it's funny because I spent nearly 21 years as a member of the European Parliament in Brussels and with its monthly journey to Strasbourg. And I have to say, this place is very different indeed. It's smaller. There is not a chauffeur-driven Mercedes available for each member. No large lump sums of money, which you don't have to spend on anything and show no receipts for. And I wonder whether perhaps that's why so many in the British political system seem to adore the European Union so much.
They literally had a scandal this year about spending large amounts of money and showing no receipts for it.
Exactly, yeah. His wont to dispheme is so ingrained that it's difficult to work out what it is he wants us to think here. There's so many levels of it going on. For a start, he leads with, no, it's funny. So you're thinking, okay, so this, what we're about to hear, we're supposed to not take seriously. And then is he saying that the UK Parliament is corrupt because of its love of the EU, or that the EU is corrupt for not asking for receipts and bunging out large lumps of money? Or is he distracting us from his corruption and not declaring what he actually spent any of his money that he earned as an MEP?
Does distracting mean drawing attention to?
Yeah, I know. It's odd, isn't it? Because he's just, and then says, perhaps this is why the UK Parliament has such a love of the EU. What?
Doesn't make a lot of sense. When you're saying, look at how these two things are completely different, that's probably why one of them likes the other one. Huh?
Yeah, yes. And I'm trying to draw out why this one is like this. The chauffeur-driven Mercedes, what is that? Where there was chauffeur-driven. Yes, and you suffered that for 21 years, you bastard.
Just while we're talking about Farage, I think it's worth mentioning that this week, the woman who threw a milkshake at him most recently, of all the people who threw milkshakes at him, was not sentenced to any prison time.
Yes.
She got some, I think, community service and a fine.
And free vouchers for milkshakes for life.
I think it was like 600 quid or something like that. So it sounds like that's the cost of throwing a milkshake at Nigel Farage, which, honestly,
you know,
bargain.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time, with every need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we hear them lie and tarnish truth. But hold that thought before you say another thing. At Christmas time, it's hard, but while you're arguing, watch the fallacies you use, are the logical clangers of tune. And when you correct them all, don't forget you. In the there, of course, with the warning about toxic family gatherings at this time of year. Do they know it's Christmas? And be careful of those fallacies employed.
In the Fallacy in the Wild, we like to talk about the Fallacy of the Week from a non-political perspective. And our first example this week comes from House MD.
Oh, yeah.
Because House, obviously, in fact, doctors as a whole will often use euphemisms.
Right.
And sometimes dysphemisms when they are referring to patients when talking to each other.
And we know this from...
I mean, QI has done some stuff about how the kind of terms that doctors will use to describe their patients and things like that.
Right.
And there's a book that was, this is going to hurt or something like that.
Yeah.
So that is a thing that doctors will sometimes do. But what House will do is do that to people's faces because he doesn't give a shit.
My joints have been feeling all loose and lately I've been feeling sick a lot. Maybe I'm overtraining. I'm doing the marathon, like 10 miles a day, but I can't seem to lose any weight.
Lift up your arms. You have a parasite.
Like a tapeworm or something?
Lie back and lift up your sweater. You can put your arms down.
Can you do anything about it?
Only for about a month or so. After that, it becomes illegal to remove, except in a couple of states.
Illegal?
But don't worry. Many women learn to embrace this parasite. They name it, dress it up in tiny clothes, arrange playdates with other parasites.
Playdates?
It has your eyes.
There you go. Nice.
And in fact, he used a similar kind of technique in a later episode when he was dealing with a teenager who wanted an abortion, but her parents were not approving of that.
Right.
And so he told the parents that their daughter had an abnormal growth in her abdomen.
Right.
And that removing
it is
just a perfectly normal procedure that happens in hospitals all the time. It's perfectly safe. And,
right.
And so that was then something that they allowed to happen.
Oh, right. There we go. For them, it was a dysphemism.
Uh-huh.
But it was also a euphemistic description of it.
Euphemistic dysphemism. So our second example is from Ali McBeal.
Oh, wow.
And this is when her daughter, has been caught smoking at school.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? Oh, well, I'll tell you what's going on. Maddie's been sucking on the big cancer stick, chewing on the death weed, the emphysema wick. She's on one of those new carcinogen diets, the one that traps all the healthy fat cells and shrivels them up into malignant little pieces of rotted flesh. She's decided that she wants soot for her lungs, a charcoal throat.
Allie.
She smokes.
Excellent. Excellent. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So describing smoking in the most dysphemistic of ways in... Yeah. An attempt to both horrify her daughter and also the girl's father into being hard on her.
Doing something about it. Yeah. Nice.
So finally, we have a clip from Blue Bloods. This is an episode where Jamie, the youngest Reagan, spotted someone who he had been mentoring being chased by a couple of gang members and chased them. And one of the gang members got hit by a car. Then he got civilly sued by the family. And so this is some advice that his sister gives him.
He said that he was pretty sure you identified yourself as a police officer when you chased Mr. Cisneros into the street
Joey,
and turned him
street
into
on
a hood ornament.
I didn't do either one of those things. Come on, whose side are you on?
Yours. The ambulance chaser who's going to be questioning you for the deposition has one thing on his mind, and it ain't justice, it's money. You got me?
Got you.
So... she describes the opposing counsel, essentially, as an ambulance chaser.
An ambulance chaser, yeah.
Which, yeah, it's just it's a quick way of calling the lawyer's motives, at least, into question.
Mm.
He's probably not a particularly good lawyer, and he's not out for justice. He's just in it for the money, and he's doing it because he sees a quick buck in this person. It may be true of this particular lawyer, it may not be, but I don't think she knows who it is. And it's like calling an accountant a bean counter or a mechanic a grease monkey or something like that. It's giving a lack of respect to a person for their profession because you want to see them as the enemy or portray them as the enemy to the person you're talking to.
And portray them as less of a threat.
Yes. Yeah. Less qualified, less intelligent.
Yeah.
All of those things will come across when you give a pejorative term instead of a description of the person.
Yeah, which is why Trump uses that as a shortcut.
Absolutely.
Because he, being an unimaginative bully, he wants people to be less imaginative than him. He's got to make every... It's not enough for him to win. Everyone else has got to lose.
Yeah.
So we're gonna play...
Fake news, folks. I love the game. It's a great game.
I understand the game as well as anybody. As well as anybody.
Yes, it's time for Fake News, the game where I read out three Trump quotes, two of which are real and one I made up, and Mark has to figure out which one is fake news, except we're doing it a little bit differently this week because it's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of Trump quotes, we have some facts about Trump.
Oh.
Of which I made some up.
Yeah, well, you see, I wouldn't want to get people to get the wrong impression vis-a-vis the honesty with which the scoring associated with any game in this slot is managed. But people have said that the numbers involved are somewhat subject to, shall we say, being viewed as okay to be recorded in easily erasable pencil rather than indelible ink.
Well, in an attempt to address that, there's an opportunity for you to get 3 points in this round, as there are when we do special episodes, because, we have 9 facts that are split up into groups of 3, of which one in each group is a fake fact.
Okay,
So the first 3, of which one is fake.
Yeah.
Number 1, Trump is in the World Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Right.
2, Trump is in the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And 3, Trump is in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Well, all of those are highly implausible. Okay.
2 of those are real, and 1 I made up.
Jesus. World Wrestling. Well, we know that one of his nominees for his cabinet is a WWE character that you can play. Trump is in the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. Okay, well, I'm just wondering whether that's from stuff that he did in that area when he was a property magnate. Okay, and Trump is in the Country Music Hall of Fame. Okay, well, that one's least likely, so it's probably true. Okay, I don't think he's in the World Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Okay. We'll do all of them and then we'll give you the answers.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Fact number four.
Yeah.
Trump was nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes.
Right.
Statement number 5. Trump was nominated for 3 Grammys.
Okay.
And statement number 6. Trump was nominated for 2 Emmys.
Okay. Well, I've got a feeling that the Emmys is... I don't know about that, because we've seen the films that he's been in. Though, he was nominated for the Grammys. Would that go along with the Country Music Hall of Fame? But he got, oh, I mean, I really do want to get his album if he's done one. Trump was nominated for Nobel Peace Prize. Well, there was that. I think that's probably true, because there was talk of that, and he was demanding to have won that and couldn't understand why he hadn't and Obama had. 4 is a lot. 3 Grammys. Okay, I think that number 6, nominated for Emmys, is not true.
Okay. And the final set of 3, fact number 7, Trump's Secret Service code name was Mogul.
Yeah, okay.
Fact number 8, Trump is the second tallest president, according to the height on his New York driver's license.
Okay.
And 9, Trump has been awarded 5 honorary doctorates.
Okay, second tallest president. Well, yeah, he would say that, wouldn't he? But he's the second tallest president. He says he's the tallest. 5 honorary doctorates. I think he might well have been. Okay, so I'm going to go with the Secret Service code name wasn't Mogul, so number 7 isn't true.
Okay, so you think...
1 isn't true.
1 isn't true.
6 isn't true.
The Emmys and the Secret Service code name is not true.
Isn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shall we go through them in order?
Yeah.
Trump is in the World Wrestling Hall of Fame.
What?
It's hard to explain.
Was he at school doing it? Or?
He's been involved in the WWE for a while as a character around, because it's all a bullshit thing, isn't it? I don't want to get any wrestlers upset with me, but...
It's just bullshit. It's theater, all bullshit. Isn't it?
It's, yeah. I tell you what it is. It is very skilled fakery. They are highly skilled athletes, and the bouts are dangerous and people get injured doing it. But it's entertainment rather than sport. And Trump is an entertaining figure.
Particularly, you'd only need to look to the fact that Trump is in the World Wrestling Hall of Fame for it to... ring those alarm bells of sophisticated fakery, because that's, not dysphemic. He actually is that. Yeah.
So while he hasn't, as far as I know, actually fought in the ring, he has appeared at multiple WWE events.
Yeah.
And as part of the kayfabe, has attacked people outside of the ring.
So they've put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. He's there.
Oh, man.
So number 2.
Yeah.
Trump is in the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame.
No. No.
Again, not due to his success in the ring.
His boxing prowess. Right. It brings down the value of being in the Hall of Fame.
It really does, doesn't it? It really does.
If you don't have to be, don't have to have boxed around in your life. No,
this is due to the extent to which he promoted boxing within his Atlantic City casinos,
right?
Because he put on certain big fights and promote them,
right?
And I guess helped promote boxing in New Jersey as a whole.
I'm surprised he's not therefore also Miss Universe. That's the same kind of basis, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they probably thought that was a bit. They balked at that.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, he's not. He's not in the. The Country Music Hall of Fame.
Thank God for that. No, I am somewhat disappointed, as I'd even worked out what the album cover would look like. It will be a sort of grainy Kodachrome shot of him against blue, because that would show off his orange face most of all. And he'd be looking kind of serious with, maybe his hand on his chin. But, and in the background, there would be a nodding donkey, oil well, and a dog and a truck and, Dolly Parton.
So, Nobel Peace Prizes.
Yeah.
Trump has indeed been nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes.
Wow. I can remember. Wasn't Bannon banging on about that at some point?
Probably.
Yeah.
The thing is, literally the Nobel Committee says, look, don't read too much into nominations. Not specifically about this, but on the Nobel Prize website, it says being nominated is not an endorsement or extended honour to simply affiliation with the Nobel Peace Prize.
It's been a thing. Yeah.
Literally hundreds of thousands of people are eligible to nominate people for Nobel Prizes.
University rectors,
professors of political and social science, history, philosophy, law and theology, leaders of peace research institutes, institutes of foreign affairs, members of national assemblies, governments, international courts of law, previous Nobel Peace Prize laureates, board members and organisations and institutions that have received the Nobel Peace Prize. All of those people can nominate whoever the fuck they like for whatever reason they want.
Right.
And some of them are far-right idiots.
Right.
Who have nominated Trump, among other people, for the Peace Prize.
Wow.
And he has never got it because, of course, he hasn't.
Yeah.
And he's been annoyed about that.
Because he's just desperate to get every accolade ever to prove to his father that actually he's as good as Fred Jr. ever was.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference now, Donnie, because your dad is dead. And he never liked you anyway.
Yeah.
He was just using you as a front man.
So that's true.
Right.
That he's been nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes.
Yeah.
The 3 Grammys, you kind of thought this might be connected to the country music thing and that he has somehow done songs and albums and things. I don't know if you are aware or perhaps had just forgotten that they also give Grammys for spoken word. For people's like audiobooks and things like that.
Okay.
And obviously, Trump, being such a masterful orator, has never been nominated for a Grammy. No. Obama has been nominated for 3 Grammys and, in fact, won 2.
Wow. What did Obama win the 2 Grammys for? For his
audiobooks, Dreams from My Father and The Audacity of Hope. He was nominated for A Promised Land in 2022, but he didn't win that one.
Wow. So, wow. Yeah.
So he didn't win or get nominated for 3 Grammys, unfortunately for you, but he did get nominated for 2 Emmys.
No.
In much the same way as the producer of a film that does very well at the Oscars gets nominated for an Oscar. They didn't really.
All right.
Some of them did. Some producers put in a lot of work and effort and have an impact on the film. But Trump was executive producer on The Apprentice, because presumably, if they gave him an executive producer credit, they could pay him $1 million less a season or something like that.
Right. And then I go, we'll just nominate him. He'll love that.
Yeah. So all of the producers got nominated twice in 2004, 2005.
Right.
The Apprentice was nominated for Outstanding Reality Competition Program. And so he was technically a nominee.
Which he bloody loves.
And the fact that he didn't win means he bloody hates the Emmys.
Yes.
Because Obama's got some Emmys.
Exactly.
So unfortunately for you, again, that one was not correct.
No.
Finally, you think that his Secret Service codename was not Mogul.
Yeah.
Any guesses as to what you think it might be?
Thief? Liar? What was the one in My Son Hunter? Trinity?
Celtic.
No, what would he be?
Yeah, Celtic was Biden's.
Yeah. Jaffa? I don't know.
So my understanding of how Secret Service code names work is that they pick a letter for the first family.
Oh, okay.
And come up with a list of different names that they think they could use and let the
beginning with that letter
protectorees choose what they would like to be known as.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think Obama was Renegade.
Right.
Biden is Celtic, reflecting his Irish roots.
Oh, okay.
And Trump is Mogul.
He is.
Yeah.
Because now you say they get to choose. You know, we're going to start you all with M, what would you like to be? Master of the Universe had gone. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 Melania took that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So he did.
So
a
that's
mogul.
Correct. That's a true fact.
Wow. Why didn't he choose Messiah? If the letter is M.
I imagine they didn't put that on the list because they knew he would absolutely pick it.
That's exactly. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So. Number eight, Trump is the second tallest president according to the height on his New York driver's license. That's not true. According to the height that he claims to be.
Okay, not the actual one. Yeah, yeah.
And the height that White House Dr. Ronny Jackson claimed he was when he gave him his official White House physical.
7 foot six,
which
or
is
something.
6 foot three.
Yeah.
That would still only put him third behind Abraham Lincoln and Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, okay.
His New York driver's license, which, again, I'm not intimately familiar with the process of New York driver's licenses, but I suspect there's a more checking that's done. I don't know. It may be something you get
possibly.
To choose. You know, you tell them or they measure you.
Yeah.
I don't know. But his New York driver's license like says he's 6 foot two, not 6 foot three.
Oh, okay.
Pictures of him next to tall people suggest he might be a bit smaller than that.
Right.
Because there are plenty of people who are 6 foot three who he's been pictured next to and definitely doesn't reach the same height as them.
Yes.
But if we assume that New York takes these things seriously and that is officially his height, that places him sixth in the tallest presidencies.
Yeah.
Actually, fifth, because I forgot to take Trump out of third place.
Yeah.
So finally,
Trump
has indeed been awarded 5 honorary doctorates.
No.
Yeah. To be fair, 3 of those have since been revoked when they realised what a dick he is.
What they done? So,
and those were the proper colleges and universities.
The one
institution that hasn't revoked. And in fact, conferred one of the doctorates in 2017 after everyone knew what a dick he was Liberty University, which is Jerry Falwell's university. It's not a proper institution. Right. It's evangelical.
In
2010, Robert Gordon University in Aberdeen, just around the corner from where I went to university, gave him a Doctor of Business Administration, but then revoked it in 2015 before he was even made president again because they were like, hang on a minute, this guy's a dick.
Yeah. So, stuff's gone bankrupt.
So Lehigh University and Wagner College or Wagner College, don't know how you pronounce it in America. They both gave him doctorates. Lehigh in 1988 and the other one in 2004. And they both revoked those in 2021 after he got impeached. I specifically didn't write he has 5 honorary doctorates.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He only has 2 now. But he has been awarded 5. Unfortunately, that means that you got all of those wrong.
Oh, no, but it all does mean that, thankfully, he's not in the Country Music Hall of Fame, nor does he have 3 Grammys.
So, yeah, that means that since it's Christmas, I'm only going to count that as one game.
Oh, that's very kind.
Which means that your average doesn't drop as much as it had the opportunity to rise. Had you got any of those?
Okay, well, that's very kind. So it's quite true that the scoring is done in erasable pencil. You know, not being dysphemistic there, but, you know, sometimes works to your advantage. Boy, we've learned some new facts.
We do have some social contestants on Facebook. Mike Thunder, who says 3, 5, and 7 are made up. So that's Country Music Hall of Fame,
Grammys.
The Grammys. And
oh,
you
went for Mogul as well.
So 2 out of 3 there.
Yeah.
Lucas Roche says 3, 6, and 7. So that's Country Music Hall of Fame.
Okay. Emmys and Mogul.
And Mogul. So only 1 out of 3, right? Says, I got 3, 6, 7 is the most logical, but I don't know about at least 2 of them. I know he was jealous that he didn't win awards for his TV show or something that petty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Benjamin Colcliffe said, were the 5 honorary doctorates all from Trump University?
Well, yes, that was... That had occurred to me, yes, yeah. before it was banned, yeah.
On Patreon, Steve Bickle says, I'm going to go with 3, 5, and 8 are fake, so that's Country Music Hall of Fame, Grammys, and
the second
tallest president, so that's absolutely
well done.
3 out of 3.
Yeah.
Said, I know several of them, so it helped, but there's still a lot of wagging going on, which I presume is an acronym for wild ass guessing, but I just assume. Invisible Unicorn said 3, 5, and 7, Trump and music.
Yeah.
And Becca says as George Takei would say, oh my. The fact that two out of three of these are true is mind-boggling.
Exactly.
So much so that my brain kept getting stuck in the typo at number three. Yes, because I did put Country Music of Fame on Facebook instead of Country Music Hall of Fame. So apologies for that. But when you initially put the typo in three, I did wonder if I'd spelt country wrong.
Yeah.
Or if you thought not spelling country that way was the typo. But either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done. If you got some of those right.
Well done. Blimey.
And bad luck, Mark.
Oh, man.
There's always next Christmas.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
So it's time for the part of the show that this week at least is called Drones Are Not a Logical Fallacy, because is going down in New Jersey.
Well, yeah,
Well, actually, realistically, very little is happening in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But people are panicking because people are idiots.
It's somewhere between Orson Welles' War of the Worlds and any run-of-the-mill UFO sighting.
And planes, and stars, and just normal shit that's in the sky.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. Car reversing lights.
The Asbury Park Press reported in mid-November that people claim to have seen large drones flying low in the skies over New Jersey. And the FAA said there's no evidence of any unusual activity, but, you know, we'll look into it.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly, because people had said, oh, we've seen some weird stuff, or we've seen more than usual, more drones, then anyone who saw anything at night that was a light was like, oh, it's one of those drones, and started demanding that the government do something about it. And the government was like, there's nothing.
There's nothing to do anything about. Yes.
And so people found that suspicious. Like Kip, a 46-year-old New Jersey resident, said that the moment the federal agencies were like, there's nothing to worry about, I was like, we should be worried.
We should start worrying,
So that's the response that people had.
Yeah.
Is because the government was saying, it's fine. Don't worry about it. There's nothing happening.
Nothing.
Everyone was like, oh, something is definitely happening.
Definitely going on, because why aren't they doing anything about it? I think these questions should be asked. It's back to QAnon Tucker Carlson territory, isn't it? You know, why are they doing nothing? And Nigel Farage, why are you doing nothing about it? Because there's nothing to be done about it. Well, perhaps you're keeping it all quiet.
So the people who are, who get the most out of feeding red meat to the idiots made as big a deal of it as they possibly could.
Including the biggest idiot of all.
Obviously, including Trump, yes.
Yeah.
Who truthed mystery drone sightings all over the country. Can this really be happening without our government's knowledge? I don't think so. Let the public know, and now, otherwise, shoot them down. Which is a terrible thing to suggest people do, because firing guns into the sky is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And in fact, any method of trying to interact with a thing you think might be a drone is probably a bad thing, because one issue that Nelson Delgado of the Newark FBI office raised online was the fact that there's been an increase of manned aircraft, like actual planes, the pilots being hit in the eyes with lasers because people on the ground think they see a drone. So they're like somehow reckoning that their laser pointer will target that drone in some way and help. And in fact, they're lasering pilots in the eyes. So that's a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Don't do that. But planes are one of the big things that people are mistaking for drones, because they're just lights in the sky. And in this article in the Washington Post, which is kind of where we have drawn some of this information from, there's a guy on Facebook where more than 73,000 people have joined a group called New Jersey Mystery Drones, Let's Solve It.
73,000, jeez. And yet they haven't.
No, and a guy whose handle is CryptoDiv... Toasted.
Which, that is brilliant, because in the UK, I can remember at school calling somebody a div.
Yeah, div meant means that they were idiot.
An idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I don't know what it was short for.
Probably nothing good.
Yeah.
He posted a video and said, "This is not a drone. We have full-blown UFO UAP event occurring in real time in New Jersey."
Ah, okay. With so tens of thousands
of witnesses and tons of video footage. And the footage that he produces is very clearly two drones and a plane. It couldn't more obviously be a plane a long way up.
Yeah.
And two drones just flying around with their lights on.
Yeah.
And that's what most of these videos, the videos that have been posted online and people like going, look, these aren't drones, these are aliens. Or these are drones, what are the government doing about it? Or are these government drones? Or whatever the conspiracy of the day happens to be.
Yeah.
They're all obviously either just domestic drones that people are flying around.
Flying around.
Or planes. Or, in one amazing case, by former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, he posted a video on Twitter showing what he said was drones flying over his house, and it wasn't drones, it was the constellation Orion, which is probably the most recognisable constellation after the Big Dipper.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, this is clearly...
There's three drones right in the middle that are flying in formation.
Jesus.
It's the belt of Orion. Wow. So good, isn't it? I mean, all you need is a Stargazer app that would just point it at the sky and it'll go, that's Starlink going over. That's Orion. Yeah. There's the moon.
Yeah. It's not complicated, this.
No.
And it's not just idiots who think it's either aliens, which is some of the idiots, or the government doing something. Because, like, for example, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
So she thinks it's the government doing something, because obviously.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to tell you right now, if they try to tell us all to stay inside, shelter in place for our safety from the drones, there's no way in hell I will comply with that absolute bullshit. Not doing it, no way. I'll shoot the drones down myself along with every other red-blooded, freedom-loving American. So she's convinced it's
so she's going to shoot down the red-blooded, freedom-loving Americans?
Yeah.
That's why you need punctuation, MTG. But
for those who don't think it's literal aliens, some think it might be aliens in the sense of foreigners.
Okay.
Like US Congressman Jeff Van Drew, who claimed that he had heard from high sources the drones were coming from an Iranian mothership in the Atlantic.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why he's using that phrase. I think he means a literal ship.
Yes.
Rather than a Close Encounters of the Third Kind style kind of mothership.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he thinks he heard that from, but the Pentagon have said this isn't true. There aren't any Iranian ships off the coast of the US, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing we pay attention to.
We kind of know about that. They're quite big. Yeah. We'd sort of know that. Yeah.
And then you've got people like Nancy Mace.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. She went on Clay Travis's show on YouTube, which we've talked about in our patron right-wing YouTube section.
Is she complaining about the trans nature of these aliens?
No, she's pretty convinced it's actual aliens. She said, my concern is if it's not a craft from outer space, because I think that has to be on the table. That has to be an option.
Right.
Is it our technology? Or is it Russia or Iran or China? Is there someone who's winning the arms race and are we behind? Because my question is about national security, and I hope that it's us. I hope it's not our adversaries or something from outside the universe.
Outside the universe?
Outside the universe.
Yeah.
Because I have real concerns that if these drones are from Iran or China, like some of the rumours have been, I pray that they're ours, but we should also know why they're out there. Like, are they looking for radiation? Are they looking for a nuclear warhead? We deserve to have some answers here because people are scared. Yeah, because
idiots, you're saying like things
you are
like
scaring
that.
Them.
Yeah, rather than nothing to see here. It's just the aeroplanes. Like somebody posted, it's like a large cylindrical thing with what appeared to be wings, large wings coming out of the
yeah. about a third of the way down, and there's smaller wings at the back, and then there's flashing lights on the end of what appear to be wings. And I just have no idea what they are. I guess we'll never know. It's just, what the fuck? It's just kind of, it's willful filling in of a vacuum, and the vacuum is the one that's been left by QAnon. That there is that the that people need to cling on to some explanation for the unexplained, or to turn things that are perfectly ordinary into the unexplained, and then make a series on Netflix about it and write books and publish them. But it's just that fascination with, oh my God, well, what is that? It's stuff beyond our knowledge. It's things that people won't tell us about.
Yeah.
But I think we should be, to what end? Is it?
Thing is, the government haven't not explained.
Yes, they've just said what they've said. Aeroplanes, or it's nothing to be worried about. They are drones. We've got problems with people flying drones by military bases, and we're trying to stop that shit. That's what it is.
Yeah, they first of all, they've said, we've had some reports, we'll look into it. They haven't gone, there's nothing immediately.
Yeah.
But having looked into it, they've gone, this isn't anything. We've found no evidence of any unusual activity. Press Secretary of the Pentagon said flying drones is not illegal. There are thousands of drones flown around the US on a daily basis. As a result, it's not unusual to see drones in the sky, nor is it an indication of malicious activity or any public safety threat. We'll continue to do everything possible to investigate reports of concerning activity, but given how many drones are lawfully in our skies every day, we need to be careful to avoid assuming malintent or malicious behaviour.
Yeah.
Alexandra Mayorkas, the Homeland Security guy, pointed out that New Jersey changed their laws. The FAA changed the laws in New Jersey in September of last year to make it that you can now fly drones at night, because you didn't used to be allowed to, and now you can.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So this year, consequently, more people have been flying their drones at night.
At night,
and obviously across the summer of this year, when it's light out until quite late, you know, you can see the drones. And then at night, as we have moved into winter, when people are flying their drones at night with lights on, now more people than this time last year or in years gone by are seeing things with lights flying around, because you're allowed to. And also, the drone technology is getting more ubiquitous, cheaper, so more people have them.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the most likely explanation of this, of people seeing drones, apart from the ones that are clearly planes or stars, is that people are seeing drones people are flying around.
Can you imagine them watching the opening ceremony for an Olympic event?
Yeah.
You know, particularly the one that was in Beijing, which had synchronized drones doing the, I think they did that in Paris as well. Didn't they do that with the logo and the globe? And people going, oh, yeah, drones are intelligent. They are drawing things in the sky. The people who are publishing this conspiratorial bollocks think that they have an insight that nobody else has. It's that cartoon that did the rounds during COVID where somebody was, you know, sitting at their computer going, look at this. I've found something that, you know, 200,000 doctors have overlooked. I'm going to believe this thing because it suits my cognitive bias. It's something I agree with.
The last reaction that I want to talk about is from Senator Doug Mastroianni, who is a certified idiot.
Right. Yeah.
He's a very, very, very Trump-friendly senator.
Right.
And he posted on Twitter a picture that he had screenshotted from somewhere or had been shared to him, I presume, which is, the picture is captioned, "Breaking news, crashed drone in Orange Beach, retrieved from water and taken to undisclosed location for further investigation."
Yeah.
And he said about this picture, "It is inconceivable that the federal government has no answers nor has taken any action to get to the bottom of the unidentified drones. The fecklessness of this administration was on display last year when a Chinese surveillance balloon was allowed to fly over the entire continental United States before being shot down.
Yep.
Such should be viewed as a threat to our nation and citizens, and action is long overdue. We have resources and assets in our arsenal to get answers, but I suppose Ukraine is more important to the White House. January 20th can't come soon enough." So,
wow.
Does anything in what he said suggest to you that he is joking? That he is trying to be funny,
he seems to be
ironic,
serious,
sarcastic?
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He seems that's exactly the kind of stuff you would expect him to write if the image that he'd shared was of an armed drone, for example, like something that had the Iranian flag on it or something like that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the picture he posted is a TIE fighter from Star Wars. It's a big fake prop being carried on a tractor trailer along a highway, and someone has humorously captioned it a captured drone.
Nice.
And he has taken that fully seriously.
Yeah.
And
wow.
As soon as everyone on the internet, or everyone who's still on Twitter, started taking the piss out of him for that, he acted like he knew exactly what it was. And was like, he pretended he was in on the joke and posted a picture of Darth Vader in handcuffs and said, "Oh, it looks like it was piloted after all and not the drone you're looking for." And started posting other humorous images of things that people are pretending are drones, like flying cars and stuff like that. Totally acting like he knew all the time, when clearly his initial post was fully buying into it.
Yeah. And finally, some things we really don't have time to talk about.
It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that since Trump won, the Republicans have Congress and the Supreme Court is two-thirds howler monkey, and at least a couple of those howler monkeys are comically corrupt, that there's no point fighting and we should all just give up and give in. Well, fuck that. We're not all outgoing FBI Director Christopher Wray, and some of us think there are still things worth fighting for. We'll probably talk about the status of Trump's various legal cases in a future episode, and while some have gone away either permanently or temporarily, we got a ruling this week from Judge Merchan in New York. That's the case that led to 34 felony convictions for falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to a porn star so that Trump could get elected the first time. Boy, it's lucky those didn't come out earlier. There's no way he would have been elected president if people knew he'd fucked Stormy Daniels while Melania was nursing Barron and then committed various crimes to cover it up. Anyway, Judge Merchan was getting ready to decide on the sentence for those 34 felony convictions when the Supreme Court announced that a president can order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate their political rivals and there isn't jack shit anyone can do. Merchan delayed sentencing to factor in this new information and this week announced that, in fact, the Supreme Court's ruling doesn't make any difference because he committed almost all the crimes before he was president, and the fact that a couple of witnesses referred to conversations Trump had about his criminal activity while he was in the White House doesn't mean the whole case gets thrown out. Trump took the decision as well as you might expect, calling Judge Merchan corrupt, biased and incompetent, and his decision illegal and psychotic. Merchan's decision will be appealed, of course, but it's a good first step.
Boy, it is. You know, of course, that the first thing you wish for when a genie grants you three wishes is to ask for a million more wishes. It seems that's always been an oversight of the terms and conditions associated with rubbing lamps. Perhaps they were there on the side of the lamp, but simply got rubbed away over time. Long-time Trump licky-lacky Steve Three Collars Bannon has been massaging the ego of Trump by rubbing the sticky surface of Republican lawyer Mike Davis, reportedly in line for the role of Attorney General. Bannon, on his War Room podcast, noted that Davis had said that the Constitution does not specify whether this applies only to consecutive terms. Yes, he's talking about the more Pandora's box than Genie's lamp wish that Trump could serve a third term. Forgetting, of course, that it was Congress itself that determined the two-term limit following four consecutive terms by FDR and then 4 years of Truman after FDR's death. I suspect Republicans were trying to find a way of keeping the Dems out of office. The 22nd Amendment, ratified in 1951 under Truman, reads, "No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of president more than once."
but this article should not apply to any person holding the office of president when this article was proposed by Congress, and shall not prevent any person who may be holding the office of president or acting as president during the term within which this article becomes operative from holding the office of president or acting as president during the remainder of such term. Basically, the last bit was taking into account Truman, allowing for a vice president who ascends to the presidency through succession, such as if the incumbent dies or resigns, to seek two additional terms if their initial presidency lasted less than 2 years. Meanwhile, back on the set of I Dream of Trumpy, Bannon continued, Donald John Trump is going to raise his hand on the King James Bible and take the oath of office to his third victory and his second term, Bannon said. And the Viceroy, Mike Davis, tells me, since it doesn't actually say consecutive, that I don't know, maybe we do it again in 28. Are you guys down for that, Trump 28? Davis later told Newsweek, Steve Bannon is obviously trolling, only Obama gets a third term with his puppet Biden, and Davis isn't trolling. Also, way to ingratiate Steve, third victory, nice touch. Ever the plausible denialist, Trump has said, I wouldn't be in favour of a challenge, not for me, I wouldn't be in favour of it at all. You know, FDI's had four terms. I don't know, are we going to be considered a three-term or two-term? And to House Republicans on November 13th, that he will not run again in 2028 unless you do something. It just remains to be careful what you wish for. And to note that an anagram of Mike Davis, Attorney General, is tiny, sick, diva, enabler, genie. Just saying.
Another lovely example of not giving up and giving in came from Judge James Wynn Jr. in North Carolina this week. Judge Wynn is on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and he announced in January that he would be retiring at the end of the year. In July, Biden announced his nominee to take Judge Wynn's place, North Carolina Solicitor General Ryan Park. Immediately, North Carolina's two Republican senators vowed to block Park's confirmation, as Republicans have for pretty much all Biden's judicial nominations for much of this year. When his confirmation finally came up for vote in the weeks following Trump's election win, he was predictably opposed, leaving the Fourth Circuit seat open for Trump to ultimately fill. That is, until Judge Wynn unretired. He wrote to President Biden this week saying, I write to advise that after careful consideration, I have decided to continue in regular active service as a United States Circuit Judge for the Fourth Circuit. I apologise for any inconvenience I may have caused. Wynn is actually the third judge to announce his unretirement following Trump's election, joining Max O. Coburn Jr., District Judge for the Western District of North Carolina, and Algernon L. Marbley, District Judge for the Southern District of Ohio. Conservative group The Article 3 Project has made ethics complaints against the three judges, but legal experts seem to largely agree that judges are allowed to decide when they retire and they're allowed to change their minds about it. Well done, guys. Let's have a few more.
Nice. That's, yeah, ethics. Yeah, I wonder where that's coming from. Ethics complaints. If there's one thing we've learned from car manufacturers is that they're not awfully keen on safety legislation if it gets in the way of other more important concerns, like making money. The steering column on Chevrolet's Corvair in the 60s had a tendency to spear the driver like a lance when it crashed, which it did because the rear wheels had a tendency to lock up, and it was cheaper to pay off any successful claims than to fix stuff. The 1981 Pinto gas tank had a propensity to explode during Ford's crash tests, but went into production because they couldn't afford the engineers to make it not. Well, you know that guy, currently the richest man on planet Earth? Well, he owns a car manufacturer and is a bit keen on self-driving cars and the chance to possibly own all the driverless taxi franchises that state governments might want him to supply them with. He also, I don't know if you'd noticed, pumped a lot of dollars and personal appearances into getting Trump elected. Call them cynical, but Reuters noticed, possibly more coincidentally than causally, that the incoming administration, which is, checks, notes, oh yeah, Trump's, is considering repealing the requirement for self-driving car manufacturers to report crashes. Ever mindful of that scene in iRobot where Will Smith single-handedly has to convince everyone that bots are bad when he's nearly killed by a self-driving taxi, and don't get me started on the ones in Total Recall, but I'm thinking it's quite behoven. Yeah, Total Recall. See what I did there? On makers to report to regulators about when things go wrong, such that regulators can make recommendations as to the cleanness of cars that might be put on the public roads. Removing the crash disclosure provision will particularly benefit Tesla, which has reported most of the crashes, more than 1,500, to federal safety regulators under the current program. A Reuters analysis of the crash data shows Tesla accounted for 40 out of 45 fatal crashes reported to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration through to October. Tesla finds the rules unfair because it believes it reports better data than other automakers, which makes it look like Tesla is responsible for an outsized number of crashes involving advanced driver-assisted systems, one source said. Call me Ralph Nader, but using the excuse that more tests reveal more failures isn't an argument for fewer tests, but rather for more safety. No doubt this requirement will be one of the efficiencies that Musk's Doge department will be trying to kill off. Anyone fancy a game of Carmageddon? I've got a Tesla mod.
I think Behoven Verhoven is one of the more subtle nods we've ever had on the show. Yeah. Sadly, we've run out of ethical people standing up to oppression, so it's time to talk about the ones who obey in advance, like ABC News, who folded like a cheap soup because they're afraid of Trump and his psychotic lackeys targeting them. In March, George Snuffleupagus was talking to Nancy Mace and mentioned that Trump had been found liable for rape. Trump sued ABC for defamation because he'd only been found liable for sexual assault and was presumably very proud of the distinction. ABC decided to fight the lawsuit, partly because New York v. Sullivan gives the press a legal fuckton of leeway when reporting on public figures, and partly because the judge in the case specifically went out of his way to point out that New York law has a very narrow definition of rape and that the verdict, quote, did not mean that E. Jean Carroll failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as many people commonly understand the word rape. Indeed, the jury found that Mr. Trump, in fact, did exactly that. But now Trump is in, threatening to challenge New York v. Sullivan, appointing Project 2025 co-author Brendan Carr to head the FCC, and generally doesn't give a shit about the freedom of the press if they don't use that freedom to praise his every breath. So ABC caved, settled, and agreed to donate $15 million to Trump's presidential library, a fictional place that has never been built and probably never will be, because you don't need a whole building to house three colouring books and a copy of all 22 books Trump claims to have written but actually hasn't even read, which presumably means Trump will be able to funnel that money into something more useful like golf shoes. Meanwhile, George Snuffleupagus didn't resign in disgust and instead made a statement, as required by the settlement, that he regretted saying the rapist raped somebody.
Ay, ay, ay. I'll never be doing a rally again, can you believe it? Trump declared in his victory speech on election night last month. Well, I guess we should be grateful for small mercies at least. We're going on to something that's far more important, because the rallies were used for us to be put in this position where we can really help our country. And of course, rallies mean dollars. And short of tearing down the Constitution, eventually Trump will be out of office, and all of those don't prosecute a sitting president prosecutions, at least 34 I could think of, will come back to haunt him and, of course, cost him. So where do the dollars come from now? Whilst a spokesman for MAGA Inc. declined to comment about the purpose of the Mar-a-Lago fundraiser, the current Mar-a-Lago fundraiser promises a candlelit dinner where donors can sit in a dimly lit room so as not to be seen to have parted with a price of entry for the event on December 19th. $1 million per person, according to a copy of the invite obtained by the Washington Post. Supporters who give $1 million or to raise $2 million are guaranteed 6 tickets with preferred seating at this pinnacle event. By the door, perhaps. Behind a pillar? They also get 2 tickets to a more exclusive, intimate dinner with Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, shudder, and his wife, Usha, the night before. Tickets to an earlier cabinet reception with Trump's planned nominees, as well as invitations to stay in select hotels. Trump owns a smaller selection than he once did, and other events, including the swearing-in ceremony, Pennsylvania Avenue Parade, and Starlight Ball on January 20th. Trump will appear as a special guest at the MAGA Inc. event next week. He's barred by law from directly fundraising for the group or privately directing most of its spending. But of course, Make America Great Again Inc., the super PAC, spent more than $450 million to elect Donald Trump this year. In 2017, Trump's inaugural committee settled a lawsuit that alleged
the inaugural committee had overpaid Trump's companies for events to the private benefit of the Trump Hotel and the Trump Organization. So look out, MAGA Inc., is all I'm saying. Don't be too surprised by the fine print about percentages for administration and hire costs on anything to do with staging shit at Mar-a-Lago. The fella's got form. Still, at a cool mil per ticket, it's a bargain. Well, I wonder if ours has arrived yet.
We talked last time about people being very upset that Biden repeatedly lied when he said he wouldn't pardon Hunter. Well, get ready for a shock, because it turns out Trump lied about some stuff too. In the run-up to the election, he mentioned that grocery prices were a bit high and that if he got elected president, food prices would come down. Unless you pay as much attention to Trump as I do, you probably don't even remember it coming up because he only said it 800,000 times and it was cited as the reason a lot of people voted for him. Interestingly, very few people ever asked him exactly how he planned to achieve the reduction in prices, which is handy because he never had a fucking clue. And now that none of this matters anymore, he's decided to fess up. When Time magazine voted him the newsiest person of 2024, they did an interview and asked him if his presidency would be a failure if he didn't manage to bring grocery prices down, which, side note, I think is a smart way of asking that question. It's still a softball, and I definitely didn't expect it to induce actual honesty. But Trump replied, "I don't think so. Look, they got them up. I'd like to bring them down. It's hard to bring things down once they're up. You know, it's very hard. But I think that they will. I think that energy is going to go and bring them down. I think a better supply chain is going to bring them down. You know, the supply chain is still broken. It's broken. You see it. You go out to the docks and you see all these containers. And I own property in California." Yeah, never mind. Actually, that's exactly the kind of rambling bullshit I would have expected after all.
Here in the UK, Ben Jennings's cartoon in The Guardian is Nigel Farage sitting on Santa's knee. Santa looks very much like the CEO of Tesla. Little Nigel says, "Oh, please, Father Chris Musk, can I have some money? I've been very naughty." Farage, Grinch of the moment, has been telling anyone who'll listen that Musk is going to give him millions and millions, whilst at the same time denying that anyone has spoken to Musk, but adding in a theatrical whisper, he's giving serious thought to bankrolling the party. Vijay Rangarajan, chief executive of the elections watchdog, says that linking donations to political parties to the UK profits of companies owned by foreigners was one of the urgent changes needed to retain the trust of voters. As a foreign national, Musk cannot directly donate to simpering pound shop Trumper Liquor Farage's Reform Party, but could channel a donation through a UK branch of a company he owns, like X, for instance. We know this because Farage said that's perfectly legal and what he's going to get his good friend Leon to do. Ever the grifter, Farage sees that his job as an elected MP is to spend all his time trying to get shysters to remember who he is and give him money because he's a fellow shyster. A hard-working, selfless representative of the interests of his constituents. Yeah, but if that's the image you're really trying to put across to your constituents, Nige, you might want to be talking to people who are a bit more ultra than narcissistic. People like George Soros or Bill Gates or the Clinton Foundation. Yeah, no, not them, because they're sticklers for things like truth and transparency and doing stuff for others. Plus, blimey, if you hang out with them, what will your orange and self-drive new so-called friends think of you then? Oh, the perils of being a two-faced Janus. Hey, Nige. Sorry, not anus. Arse. Despite all this, Reform UK has said it wants to professionalise the party, which at this time of year reminds me of the professional parties run in number 10 during lockdown by the other lot. "God keep us safe from professional politicians," said a reformed Mr. Scrooge. "God help us, everyone."
So that's all the bad arguments and faulty reasoning we have time for this year. You'll find the show notes at fallacioustrump.com, and if you hear Trump say something stupid and want to ask if it's a fallacy, our contact details are on the contact page.
If you think we've used a fallacy ourselves, let us know. And if you've had a good time, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, or simply tell one other person in person about how much they like our podcast. And you can support the show at patreon.com/ftrump, just like our strawman level patrons Mike Smith, LT, Colleen Laiela, Richard Thunder Hopkins, Will M, Scott, Aussie on Bank,
Laura Thompson, Mark Reiki, and Amber R. Buchanan, who told us when we met her at QED we could just call her Amber. And this year at QED, I met the listener who recognised her at QED last year because we keep using her full name all the time. And our true Scotsman level patron, Schmutz, Sharon Robinson, Renee Zed, Melissa Sitek, Stephen Bickle, Janet Uetta, Andrew Houck, and our top patron, Kaz Tui. Thank you so much for your support throughout the entire year. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.
You can connect with those awesome people as well as us and other listeners in the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/fallacioustrump or in the Discord at fallacioustrump.com/discord.
All music is by The Outbursts and was used with permission. So until next time on Fallacious Trump, we'll leave the last Christmas word to the Donald.
That's right. Go home to mommy. Bye. Bye.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.